Warning, the following broadcast is offensive, marginally funny, and contains no educational value whatsoever. It is intended for immature audiences only. It's time to get off your ass and riot. Listen in as Big Fat John and Judo Larry M. talk about whatever they damn well want to talk about. So turn up the volume, clean the crap out of your ears, and get ready to be entertained. Because we're ready to riot right now.
All right, everybody, we're back. It's the Riot Show. We took a week off last week, but we're back this week to help you get through your week's doldrums. This is your host, Big Fat John.
And Judo Larry M.
This has been a week that it was worth taking off because we're recharged, we're stored up, we're ready to go, and we've got a lot of stuff in the news, a lot of happenings going on. But before we get there, how you feeling, buddy?
I'm feeling great. I know we took the week off,
yes,
but we are not incognito. We are right here in the open where people can see us.
That's right. And, you know, we took last week off because you had that little bit of procedure that we had a little bit of fun with last week.
Yes.
I believe you had a big metal rod shoved up your ass.
Well, I do that anyway.
I was going to say, and then you had a medical procedure.
Then I had a colonoscopy just for the hell of it.
How'd it go?
It went very well.
Were you awake for it? I know you said you were going to try to stay awake for it.
No, I was not awake.
Did they numb your asshole?
They actually put it through my hand, but it wound up numbing.
The colonoscopy?
Yes. Went through my hand, up my ass. Thank God it went very well. They didn't find anything, but...
Yeah. Did you enjoy it up there?
Yeah, well, I don't
know. Was it like Saturday nights? Oh...
No, because I'm awake for those. And there's no sedatives.
So, like, just let me ask you about this, because I've never been through it, and I want to prepare myself for when I get mine when I turn 50.
Yeah.
So, right before the anesthesiologist put you out.
Yes.
And you're on your stomach, your ass is probably up in the air waiting to accept that delicious metal rod for the colonoscopy.
You're actually on your side, but it's still as delicious as you can imagine it being.
Let me ask you something. Right before you pass out from the anesthesia, did you hear this by any chance? And then you passed out?
No. Actually, what I heard was 50-1, he wakes up in the middle of it.
I told you to give him more gas.
Oh, that gas.
Always have a little fun with the ass medicine, but that's okay. Procedures, as it were.
It's the greatest thing in the world. It just is. And you want to know why? I'll tell you why. It's great. Even though the day before is miserable because you can't eat anything and you have to drink that shit they give you.
Oh, those barium things.
No. It's called Mobi Prep or Mobi Prep.
Yeah. It's got barium.
But it's just terrible.
Did you shit your brains out?
Well, somewhat.
Yeah.
Because what happened was, in preparation of it,
yes,
I didn't eat that much Friday.
Right.
And I ate very little Saturday.
Right.
So I actually didn't have a lot to clean out. And then Sunday, you don't have anything.
Right.
I had like some chicken broth soup, which you're allowed to have.
Right.
And white cran apple or white grape.
Right.
So I didn't have like a whole lot of, but yes, you have to do it twice. You drink it 4 o'clock, every 15 minutes, four times. And then again at 8. And you just start evacuating. And sometimes it's really funny because I was watching football.
Yes.
And like I drank it. I was like, I drank it 4 o'clock, nothing. Drank the next 8 ounces at 4:15, nothing. I was like, I don't know if this stuff is working. Hey, I got up and ran so fast.
You sprinted to the John in your home.
I sprinted. My bath was not too far from my couch.
Yeah.
I got up. I ran in there like my ass was on fire.
Was shit running down your leg?
No, but it was like one of those movies, like where you just made it in a second, and I just sat there and went,
and then your ass exploded into the toilet.
And it was just awful.
Did you break any pipes?
No, but I offended some neighbors.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
Were there any of those shits that crawl back out of the toilet after you flush, like you think it's all gone, and then they just appear again? They just float to the top, like.
I'm sure the fans really want to hear this. Actually, what it was.
When
you lift up the seat, you can see some of it sprayed all over.
So your ass.
Oh, now you're disgusting.
Your ass was like a salad tosser out there. Like you just shit. It went all over the place.
It was like a sprinkler system.
Oh, stracci.
Stracciarum, as we say.
But anyway, so all jokes aside, everything turned out okay?
Yeah, no polyps. No problems. No nothing.
No, did they find any hamsters up there?
No, but only that matchbox from when I was 8 years old, which was really cool.
And he lost cell phones, jewelry, boyfriend's rings, anything like
that? Boyfriend's cock rings. Yes. Yeah.
Oh, the cock ring. All right.
Now that we've rioted in the most disgusting way.
Yes, in the most disgusting way possible. Welcome to everybody, especially our first-time listeners. Yes, you are listening to The Riot, where we discuss the important issues of the day, like how much shit flew out of Judo Larry M's ass right before his colonoscopy.
And only because you're so interested.
Right. Did it hurt to shit or sit down or shit or anything after that? You were okay the next day?
Yeah, no, I was actually fine even after the operation. The only thing is you're a little loopy from the...
Of course,
So you have to have somebody come pick you up.
Right.
But, I was okay. I mean, this was like 8, 9 o'clock in the morning.
Right.
So by noon, I was ready, and I was normal, and I was ready for like lunch.
It was outpatient, right?
Yeah. It's it was no, actually outpatient, but as in up my ass. Yeah. So.
And when you were say you were ready for lunch, did you have what were you in the mood for? Hot dogs, kielbasa.
You know what happened?
Sausage.
I had a
spam.
I had a big kielbasa up my ass
in the can.
I had actually a big hankering for a cheeseburger. Don't ask me
really?
Why. That's what I had. Sorry.
Okay, cool.
But, it went well, but no, you're on your side.
Yeah,
and it's given to you the intravenously through your hand.
Right.
Which is fucked up. I still can see a doctor.
You're right.
And then you're out.
Right.
I mean, it's almost like that thing on the Honeymooners where the guy hypnotizes Norton.
Yeah.
And he goes, now count backwards from 100. He goes, 100, 99, 98, 97, 3. Like, you're just out.
God, how old are you? Your references are from like 1950.
Oh, I'm 50.
Yeah, but cheers. Geez, the Honeymooners. Okay.
Yes.
That's kind of old, but okay, you're dating yourself. I'm still a young man.
Yeah, right. You're 1 year from getting a metal rod up your ass, stupid. Wake up. And I'm going to be there to enjoy every fucking second of it.
With a video camera.
You know it.
You're going to put my colonoscopy on the vine.
See, now you're at a disadvantage because I'm going to find out when you do it. And I'm going to come and sit there. And while they're doing it, I'm going to stick my face in the camera. Yep, I'm going to photobomb your colonoscopy.
Right by my asshole, right before they shove the rod.
I'm going to stick my tongue out like Gene Simmons and photobomb your colonoscopy.
Mr. Marcioni, your friend needs some lube in his asshole. Do you mind?
Sure. Excuse me. Doctor, nurse. Yeah, there's an emergency out in the hall. There's a man running around with a towel. Go to work on you while you're out.
Tooling my asshole while I'm out.
Which is fucked up because I've already seen it.
Oh,
from the time you mooned everybody in Chicago.
I don't think moon's quite the right word.
Well, it was a full moon. You really parted it. And
I think that was a gaping. I was really drunk.
A very hairy gaping.
All right. No need to go into that. I'm a married man now, for God's sake. All right.
Well, I'm not.
That's true. All right, Judo Larium, in all seriousness, glad to hear you're okay. Nothing wrong with your asshole or your innards. That's wonderful news. Let's move on now to some of the issues that we think are headline topics of the week. The first one, the first elephant in the room, what's going on in the NFL? We've got a lot of things that are weird, but the past 2 weeks, first of all, let's start off with the minor one. You have, during the Sunday night game, the Texans versus the Colts, at halftime, as he's jogging off the field, Gary Kubiak just collapses on the field. Has to be stretchered to a hospital.
Okay.
They said it wasn't a heart attack, but I think they're saying it was stress-related.
Probably.
That he just collapsed. He was in pain. A lot of people scared. And he's fine. You know, he's taking some time off. He's fine. But now, as is typical in our liberal blame-guilt society, people pressuring the NFL to start regulating how many hours their coaches spend in the office. Because, you know, NFL head coaches are kind of famous for sleeping in their office 7 days a week.
They never see their families. And they
sleep like 3 hours a night or whatever.
They're watching film.
They're doing game plans or whatever. And now there's cries for the NFL to start regulating. What do you make of that?
I think that's absolutely ridiculous. If they want to work those hours, right, let them work those hours.
Right. They're not the only ones in society doing that.
No, not at all. But
stockbrokers.
I would hope they make time for their family, but my understanding is they really don't.
Yeah.
Even in the off season, they're doing shit. So look, it's a crazy job, but on the other end, you're paid millions of dollars.
Right.
At the end of the day,
sure,
you're paid millions of dollars to coach a game,
and they're doing it voluntarily.
Yeah.
No one's forcing
but
them
a
to
lot
do
of it.
It.
Yeah, but a lot of it is the only pressure. I mean, because there's so much pressure to win the Super
Bowl. Right. Right.
Winning the Super Bowl is the key.
I yes, mean, of course.
Yeah, like I'm a big hockey fan, and like you hear the similar stories about these guys. They're just watching fucking hockey all the time because they're trying, because they want to win the Stanley Cup. So
but it is football coaches that have that reputation, especially.
Yeah. But I don't think that they should force them to do anything there. But it doesn't surprise me because the last collective bargaining agreement. Now look at it; they change it. There's no more like two-a-days. Right.
No, the OTAs can only
the OTAs
be
are, you know,
specific days.
It's a lot of things now are voluntary and like all that. But then on the other end, that's why they're so sloppy.
Right.
When they come into preseason and like the first two games of the year, because they're not in condition.
Right.
They're not
right
in football
they're
condition.
Not in shape. Yeah.
They're not in shape. They haven't practiced enough together. So a lot of problems with that. I hope he's okay. I heard John Fox went into the hospital too.
There's another one. John Fox had some sort of, I think he had some sort of bypass or something to that effect, some sort of open heart surgery, a blocked valve or something. That came on rather suddenly. And between Fox and Kubiak, that's how you get this motion of these coaches need to be regulated. But you know what? We don't regulate doctors for the most part. They're, you know, when you're an intern and you're a doctor, you're practically sleeping at the hospital every night. You're working 18, 20-hour days. If you're an investment banker on Wall Street, you're getting up at 4 in the morning. You're going to bed at midnight or 1 a.m. Shit, I used to live that life when I was an investment banker. So it is what it is. But at the end of the day, no one's putting a gun to your head.
Right.
Every job has its inherent risk. So let these guys coach. I oppose vehemently any effort to regulate this.
Yeah, no, I don't think they should, but I think they're going to wind up doing it.
They might.
Because
but how do they enforce it? How do they enforce it?
Well, because what they'll do is they'll make it that the facilities have to be closed.
All right, so the
and
guy goes,
you don't have access to it. Now, you could go home and still do shit, but
right,
they'll say the facility's closed, you got to go home, and you can't be back by a certain hour.
Right.
And trust me, they'll figure it out.
They'll work their way around it, though. But, they'll be
there's no doubt, though. Yeah. They'll
the head coach will just be like, okay, all my assistants show up in my basement.
Yeah.
You know, we'll work the 4 hours there, or we'll sleep overnight at the local motel or whatever. You know, they'll figure out. So it's pointless because all it does is create a way for people to cheat it. You know, it's, you know, the only thing I would say is that the NFL can recommend to coaches, like, this is what happens when you don't sleep for like 20 years in a row or whatever. You know, you will get these heart attacks. You will start to get mental breakdowns. And
yeah, but it's just a sign of the whole thing now, that the push to change the name of the Redskins because it offends people.
Right.
Now the coaches are working too hard, blah, blah,
politically
blah.
Politically correct.
And then the players can't do OTAs and no two-a-days because it's too much and they're getting dehydrated and
right,
this and that. And then no, and then the thing with Incognito now.
Oh, that's a completely different matter. First of all, so for people that didn't know, Richie...
On top of the Riley Cooper incident.
Right, right. Richie Incognito, for those that may not know, is an offensive lineman with the Miami Dolphins, starting offensive lineman. And no, we're not making his name up. His last name is Incognito. And I know it sounds like the name of some sort of spy or something, you know, like...
Well, it's a weird name because Incognito means to be hiding.
Right, Rich Incognito. Anyway, so he was accused, and I'm using the word everybody else outside of football is using. He's accused of bullying his teammate, Jonathan Martin, I think his
name
is.
Jonathan Martin.
Who is the guy who plays right next to him on the offensive line.
They're buddies.
And initially, Martin left the team because he claimed that he couldn't take the bullying anymore.
Yeah. Went to a hospital.
Yeah, checked himself into a hospital and said he's not coming back to the team until things get resolved. Now, it's very important that when you listen to this on the surface, and when news of this first broke, you had every liberal, every bleeding heart saying, oh, how horrible. We wouldn't tolerate this type of hazing in the office. Why do we tolerate it in the NFL? And then while that nonsense was going on, there was a text message produced that was sent by Incognito to Martin where he was using these what appeared to be very harsh terms. He called him half a nigger. He referred to his mama. Like, you know, like, then he said, like, if you don't do this, I'm going to kill you. You'll always be a rookie to me and things like that.
Yeah.
And, of course, when that text message surfaced, now you've got even more stuff. Oh, my God. Not only is he an asshole, he's a racist asshole.
Racist asshole. And, of course, he's not helping himself because he has a history of being a dirty player.
He's got a screw loose. He's got a screw loose.
He's got a history of it. Even when he was with the Cowboys, he was known to, like, cut block people and shit after the whistle.
He really got it with the Colts, with the Rams. He definitely had those issues. I don't remember if he was with the Cowboys. I'm not sure.
I think he was.
But basically, his main problem started with the Colts and the Rams. So this guy's an asshole. And the immediate reaction of everybody was, oh my God, he's an asshole. And Jonathan Martin, for those that don't know, is a African American. Incognito's white. So you already had the racist dynamic in play. And, you know, when it first broke, I was one of the few, if I can use this term, sports writers, who came out and posted and said, I don't know the whole story yet, but I could tell that anyone who's complaining to Delarium has never been in any sort of locker room, especially a football locker room.
But also, these are grown men.
Yeah, but
I mean, these are huge grown men.
I agree with you.
Yeah, so this isn't the same as like I understand when they say like they don't want like bullying in schools,
right?
Because you're talking about a little kid being picked on by like bigger kids,
right?
Or them being terrorized, and a school is a place of just of education, nothing else. Not to go off on a tangent, but it's just supposed to be a place of education, not bullying, not guns, not drugs, not all this shit that goes on. It's just a place to learn, and it should be an environment where kids feel safe. And if you feel scared going to school, that's like the worst thing in the world. Because I remember when I was growing up, there was a kid like that, but he was always worried. He was scared. They picked on him. You know, it's one thing when it's children, but these are grown men. These are like 6'5", 300-pound guys.
And whose job it is to violently maul anyone who comes near them, because they play the most violent position in football. They play in the trenches. They play lined 6 inches apart from other men of equal size. And their job is to physically bash into each other.
Right.
The concept that you're applying the term bully to these people is nothing more than the pussification of America, in my opinion. It's like you've got women who are telling you, that's an improper, hostile workplace. It makes people feel unsafe, Judo Lariam. When you stare at me and you're staring at my breastises, and then you make me feel unsafe, like you may rape me, because we have a rape culture in addition to a bullying culture in this country. Did you know that?
Boy, you're a really attractive woman.
You have really big tits.
Yeah. I never noticed those tits here. Oh, those are man tits.
But I mean, seriously, that's why I said, like, in that situation, those are people who have never been in a locker room.
No, absolutely not.
Right?
They're commenting on something they know nothing about.
Do you know how many times you hear the word nigger in a football locker room? But
it's probably black guy to black.
Yeah, exactly. But what I'm trying to get at is that word is thrown around more than in a Jay-Z song.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's always like, nigga, blah, blah, blah. And you hear that. I heard it when I played in high school. I heard it. You probably heard it when you were playing in your CYO teams and stuff. It is part of that culture. The same way that if I took what a Marine drill sergeant says to his recruits, it would be far worse. I mean, we all have that Full Metal Jacket, Sergeant Hartman yelling at people, right? That happens. What are we going to say next? That the Marines have to go easy on their recruits? That you're not allowed to be insensitive? You're trying to train killers. In the NFL, it's a kill or be killed culture.
Oh, yeah.
The average lifespan or career in the NFL is like 4 years.
5 years, yeah.
You know, it's not a play. You know, when you say, well, we wouldn't tolerate it in my office. Yeah. Does your office have the CEO and CMO line up wearing 25 pounds of equipment and trying to physically knock their brains out?
It's not analogous at all.
At all. And then what's interesting is, as the story developed this week.
Besides, also the office buildings, I mean, what they're referring to, require a professional standard of conduct.
It's the job.
I mean, the NFL, look, it is. It's supposed to be brutal. It's supposed to be tough. These are big, tough guys doing nasty shit.
Yes. I mean, and can we stop? Can everyone in this country please stop being an advocate for some allegedly aggrieved group? Is it really necessary Does someone really need to step in for Jonathan Martin?
Yeah.
Seriously, his parents are Harvard-educated professors.
I wasn't going to say anything. I saw that. They're both Harvard-like educated.
And he's from Stanford. He's an educated man himself.
Yeah.
And a lot of people, I saw somebody on NFL Network, I think it was, who's the guy that does NFL AM? He has like a really whiny voice. Anyway.
Oh, Kruger?
Yeah.
Kruger,
yeah. He actually said, you know, it may not even be a black and white thing. It could just be an educated Harvard man like Martin with a guy who's the son of a Vietnam vet who from day one has admitted he's got a screw loose.
Yeah.
So maybe it's not even that. Maybe it's the personalities. So now you started
But you're also hearing like things like Tannehill and Brian
Hartline. I was
going to
get to that. Yeah, yeah.
I said that they're buddies.
Yeah,
and, like, they,
I was going to get to that. The first crack was that a lot of people said, well, we don't know when this text message was sent and what was the context of it. And then this morning, to your point, all the other Dolphin players said, we never knew there was a problem. These two guys hung out together. They seemed like they were joking around together.
Yeah, you see footage of them sitting on the sidelines, like BSing with
each other. And then we find out that quite possibly the coaches told Incognito, who's a veteran, a 10, 11-year veteran.
Yeah, to give this rookie.
No, he told him to toughen him up.
Toughen him up.
Because he was soft.
Give him a code red.
Yes. Yeah, you can't handle the truth.
Coach Philbin?
Yes?
Did you tell Richie Incognito to give Jonathan Martin a code red?
You're goddamn right I did. Rip off your head and shit down your neck.
Yeah, but you know what? That happens in football.
Oh, yeah, sure.
That happens in football. You always find the weak link.
You saw that. Like, you played high school football,
yeah, of course.
See, like, I can't completely speak on it.
Yeah.
Because I played hockey.
Right, right.
And if anybody said something like that in the locker room, it would be more along the lines like, hey, there's no on the team. I'm sorry.
I'm sorry.
It's charity.
Yeah. We would like to ask Mr. Judah Lariam to refrain from using the N-word when describing his hockey team.
I'm sorry, Mr. Sharpton. I'm sorry. Yes, fuck you.
No, but seriously. So, yes, the point is that that in that culture, weakness is frowned upon. That's why you have players with broken legs and broken fingers and broken noses. Oh, yeah. They just get taped up, and the next thing you know, they're in the game.
Well, look at Antro Roll and the Giants. Did you see what he said?
Yeah.
He said they're actually both at fault.
Yeah.
He said Jonathan Roll, because he's a grown man. He's got to stand up for himself.
And this has been going on since he was a rookie last year, so this has been going on for almost 2 years.
Yeah.
In other words, he's allowing it. He's allowing himself to be a victim. Now, the important thing also here is that nobody is claiming, nobody, not even Martin, that Incognito ever physically put his hands on him.
Right.
It's not a case that he beat him up. It's not a case that he somehow physically hazed him.
No, but it's what you said before, that he's got a screw loose. Because I saw another bit of footage today. I don't know if you saw this. With Cognito with his shirt off.
Yeah.
Yelling in some pool hole in a bar. Running around. And like everybody was like moving away from him.
Yeah. And that was TMZ. And just to show you how dishonest those vultures are.
Oh, really?
They showed him out of context in their bar yelling, yo, my niggas. Right?
Yeah.
Oh, that proves he's racist. This was at the when the story first broke. But then it turned out that he was yelling, yo, my nigga, to Mike Pouncey, who's a black center.
Yeah.
In other words, he was yelling at a friend of his the way two guys might say, yo, my nigga, yo, nigga, you know.
And but that's a problem because he's white.
He's white. And it's so racist on the part of the media to assume that only two black guys can use the nigga A at the end, not ER, as if that makes a fucking difference. But anyway,
according to them, it does.
According to them, it does. But then again, it's TMZ stepping in to assume that this guy is a racist. And now that we have a fuller picture of what's happening, it seems like Incognito was asked to do this. It's very typical of NFL locker rooms. And up until Martin surprisingly just walked off the team, nobody on the team, and to your point, the quarterback, Ryan Tannehill, even ex-Dolphins players, because they were interviewing Reggie Bush in Detroit, they were interviewing Brandon Marshall in Chicago, and basically they just said, look, it is what it is. That's what happens in locker rooms.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I just assume that they look. It's the same reason why they. I know that they toyed briefly with putting microphones down like field level and like
some players still have it.
And but I noticed that they got rid of them very quickly because the language is so ridiculous at the line of scrimmage.
Right.
I mean, you can't possibly put it on the air.
Oh, sure.
That's why every once in a while, when the referee turns on his mic to make a call, sometimes you hear things in the back like, "Oh, fuck you up!" Like,
yeah, it's a violent sport. You can't be polite in a violent sport. It's not. tennis. It's not golf.
Right.
You know, it's like there's people.
Which even have rules about politeness.
Right, right.
Like, you know, in golf, you don't talk in somebody's backswing.
Right,
that's
right.
What you notice the announcers are always whispering.
Yeah.
Even if they're 6 miles away from the action, he's going for the putt. Like, you know.
Yeah, but that's because they're all pussies.
Well, excuse me, Captain Obvious.
Yeah, but I mean, look, when you play football or when you're in anything that's what I would call a combat sport, right? So we're talking about combat sports in like, it could be MMA, it could be boxing, it could be, you know, whatever, football, right. Hockey to some extent. You're looking at people who have to be in a position to physically dominate and maul other people.
Right.
And then when the whistle goes off, when the final clock winds down, you have to go back to being a normal person.
Yeah.
You can't carry over your behavior, right? Then you'd be arrested. So
then you'd be Richie Incognito.
Then you'd be Richie Incognito. But and here's the other thing a lot of people don't forget, like, especially fucking liberals can't get. The locker room really is viewed as a sanctuary. It really is that. Why do you think there's always been this resistance to having reporters in the locker room, to having female reporters in the locker room?
Yeah.
It's really not the fact that they may see the random dick swing around. It really isn't that. It really is more that in that situation, you can't guarantee that a woman won't get offended, that a woman won't have her ass grabbed or something. It's not because these people are rapey rapists. It's because you're in this heightened sense where it's like these alpha males with testosterone flowing. They speak crudely, they act crudely, and they're trained to think crudely. So that's why I would say that this whole incognito row, yes, we still have to find out some more details due to Larry, but right now, I am willing to state, for the record, Richie Incognito is my hero.
Really? Are you waiting for the Incognito Cooper ticket from 2016, you racist bastard?
You got to love this guy, though. He's not backing down. He hasn't come out to apologize.
They did the one interview. He goes, I'm just weathering the storm.
Yeah. Good for him. You know what? God bless him. Because that's what we say. Like, we joke around if someone says, why do you use so many bad words and profanity? And we say,
go fuck yourself.
Go fuck yourself. Yeah. I think Rich Incognito just gave the official NFL, go fuck yourself. It's like, why does he have to apologize for anything? He did nothing wrong.
Especially if he was told to do it.
Especially if he was told to do it. And then the second thing is, he refuses to be judged by pussy standards.
Right.
He refuses to be judged by the equivalent of some yapping yenta hens that think it's mean to call somebody a half a nigger on your team. It's not the same as if you use that same phrase in the office, ladies and gentlemen, or on the street.
Right.
Okay?
In polite society.
In polite society.
It's an NFL locker room.
Right. Don't superimpose your morality where it doesn't belong. Okay? The same way you can't, you know, we talked about this before the show. Do you know there's this whole bunch of feminists that are, you know that famous photo at the end of World War II in Times Square where the sailor just kissed the random nurse in the street?
Right.
Right. There's a whole bunch of feminists now who say that's symptomatic of our rape culture. Male rape culture. And what they're doing is they're taking today's sensibilities.
Oh, I thought they meant the nurse had her tongue down his throat.
She was cupping his balls the whole time. But they're taking our morality of today and applying it to the end of World War II when people were afraid somebody might drop a bomb on their head and they found out.
But it's a celebratory thing.
Exactly.
After the biggest war of all time, could you have some context?
Yeah.
I mean, look at these stupid people.
Thank you.
Well, he's kissing her. Yeah, he's kissing her. Stupid.
Yeah.
And the reason for it is because nobody's going to kiss ugly feminists. go to your fucking WNBA games and shut up, bitch.
Yeah. That's right. And do yourself a favor. You're not supposed to have nachos with the Slim Fast. It's supposed to be just the Slim Fast.
That's right.
You
just the nachos.
Yeah. just skip the nachos. You could skip a few of the nachos. Take it from Big Fat John. You don't want to see no Big Fat Janes. Nobody does.
Yeah.
I'm still a handsome man, even despite my weight gain.
Are you?
Yes. No fat chick is pretty. Can we agree on that?
No fat chick is pretty.
By definition.
Yes. Yes. And that goes double for that weird Molly McCarthy chick.
Oh.
She makes me like want to. Oh. Let me tell you something. If I was stranded on Gilligan's Island with her and the skipper's getting fucked.
Yes.
I'm going to tell you right now.
That asshole is looking pretty good on the skipper.
I'm telling you right. Thurston Howell, him too.
Yeah. I take Lovey over Melissa McCarthy.
No, but that's a woman.
I take that 80-year-old. I take that 80-year-old shriveled up, looks like an alligator clam any day of the week over a young. No,
you would have to fuck the professor because you think you're smart.
That's in his ear. I think I might fuck in his ear. I may space dock with his cock.
You don't want to fuck him too hard though, because he's the guy who invented the coconut car that ran and all that.
Yeah, you know, in Melissa McCarthy's family, it's obvious that Jenny McCarthy sucked out all the good look genes out of that family. Yeah. They're first cousins. You know that, right?
Oh, are they really?
Yeah. So that hot blonde from MTV from the day and all that?
She's not hot anymore. But
she's still kind of hot. I mean, she's over 40, but for her age and sliding out a couple of kids, she's still hot. Yeah. But, I mean, compare her to Melissa McCarthy.
Oh, but she's a pig.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
And you know what's amazing?
And they're first cousins.
But actually, you know what's funny? For the feminists who complain about how people get... Look at this big fat pig.
Yeah.
She does TV. She does movies.
Right.
I saw some other stupid ad for on demand. Yeah. Did some movie, Identity.
Right. Identity Thief.
Something.
Yeah.
And she did another thing with... who's the one from those...
Sandra Bullock.
Sandra Bullock.
Yeah.
I mean, she's like making movies.
Yeah.
And she's doing, she's disgusting.
She's got that TV series.
Yeah.
Mike and Molly. Yeah, no, she's got work. She's got work.
No, but the point is, for them who think that like certain types of women get favoritism, look at this fucking, look at this hippo hurricane holler over here.
Look at that other fat hoe, that one that's on that HBO thing, Girls, what's her name, Lena Dunham. There may be no more disgusting woman on the planet than that chick. She is ugly. She's fat. She has absolutely no figure, no shape. On top of that, she's a nut job. She's a whack job. Anything that falls out of her mouth, it just makes instantly no sense.
All right, leave Hillary alone.
She's worse than Hillary, trust me.
Yeah, okay.
If you've ever seen this bitch. Have you ever seen Girls, that show? It's a series on HBO?
I saw it briefly.
I turned it off
only because I just thought it was boring.
And here's my proclamation out there. Any man who's defended Girls to me on Twitter, dude, come out of the closet. You're gay.
Okay.
That's all there is to it.
You probably watch Sex in the City, too.
Yeah, you probably are.
Another show I've actually never seen more than like 30 seconds.
Yeah. You must have liked Sex in the City, and you talked about, what's it, Horseface, what's her name?
Kim Cattrall.
She was ugly too. But Horseface is Sarah Jessica Parker.
Oh my God.
But all those girls were ugly and like they had no appeal. My wife tried to make me sit through an episode and all, you know, and they think they're all being sexy and they all talk like this, you know. It's like, go fuck yourself. The most unattractive women on the planet talking about sex makes me want to vomit. It makes my dick shrink. I get internal erections with those fucking women.
I know what you do like though.
What's that?
You like getting pulled over at a stop sign in New Mexico. Let me tell you.
Yeah, well. Yeah.
I don't want to talk about ugly bitches anymore. I mean, I'm losing the vibe. So, Timothy Young.
So, you're proving my point. These ugly bitches just kill boners.
Yeah. And you're going on about it. It's making it shrink in like a turtle.
Yeah, yeah. So. Well, you have to understand pacing in this game. You have to understand pacing, Judo Larium.
No, I understand pacing. I also understand an audience that's asleep.
Yeah, well, you know, we could try to work on the... Oh, Halifax. Wake up!
Halifax. Pop. So if you're in New Mexico,
all right, you're desperate to get to this story, and that's fine.
Come on, it's fantastic.
But before we move on, can we both admit Richie Incognito into the Riotous Hall of Fame?
Oh, he's in.
First ballot entry.
I don't even think he needs a vote.
He gets a pass.
He's a pass.
All right, you get to build his bust. We'll put it up here in the Riotous Studios, Richie, and I want you to build a word bubble over it that says, "Yo, you have a
you have a N-word."
Anybody who comes into the studio,
I'm going to put it in there with those guys who sing. It's cool, it's great to be a gangster.
Oh, there you go. Damn, it's good to be a gangster. You okay, buddy? You coughing?
Yeah.
You're worked up.
It's the colonoscopy.
The colonoscopy? You're still tasting metal in the roof of your mouth?
You know what? I think you left the tube in there. I noticed that my shits have been sliding out like super fast. It's just really? Great.
Your asshole has just become gaped and you won't get back into
shape.
It's
not the same as 14 hours of it, but it's
you know,
it's,
they say that's a big problem with gay guys, right? That their assholes are so stretched that like nothing stays in there. Shit, gaseous fumes, everything.
Just dirt.
Just comes flying right out. Because they just love taking it in the ass so much. Well, that's homophobic. I don't want to hear any such nonsense through the Larry.
No KY jokes today.
Yes, and please stop saying those things.
Yes. I'm quite a ventriloquist, as everybody knows. That was me just now.
All right, listen. We have, you know, everyone knows Judo Larry and Big Fat John, big fans of Law and Order, big supporters of the police department.
Yes, we are.
Therefore, we're very proud to bring you the next item on our list. Judo Larry M. I don't know why you're laughing. This is a very serious matter.
No, it's not.
Yes. As you know, our country's engaged in a drug war where we try very hard to stop these animals from bringing in heroin.
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 Hashish.
Crack.
Crack. People make meth.
And things of that nature.
And we're losing this mighty war on drugs, according to every...
But listen, I will tolerate no tomfoolery from you. This is a serious matter.
No, it's not. It's charity, I guess.
So, in New Mexico, which of course is on the border of Mexico, where all this filthy drug business comes from, a lot of it.
It's pretty much the same place, just with the word new in front of it.
Right. There was this dastardly person of interest, a man so bereft of morality,
indecency.
So utterly lacking in common human decency.
No respect for the law.
No respect for the
law. No respect for the Constitution.
At all. Fucking wipes his ass with the Constitution, I've been told. I haven't been able to corroborate this fact, but I've been told he physically takes a copy of the Constitution with him to the John.
Allegedly.
Shits heavily after eating a Taco Bell.
That's terrible.
And wipes his ass with the Bill of Rights.
Please tell me we're cutting out these comments.
Now, listen. Yes. No, I'm not making fun of this. I am telling you, this is serious business.
Go right ahead.
I don't know why you're laughing.
Because I'm going to make fun of it.
This dastardly person whose name is...
Timothy Young.
This cocksucker has the temerity to roll through a stop sign in New Mexico. Do you hear what I'm saying?
Without using his blinker.
In plain
without
daylight,
using his blinker.
He came to a stop sign, clearly marked stop sign.
And there was a cop car behind him.
And not only did he fail to stop, yes, with the arrogance typically associated
with criminals,
with the Medellin cartel and Pablo Escobar.
Pablo, you idiot.
Pablo Pedro.
Pedro's the guy with the coffee.
Pedro's the guy who sweeps up the studio after the show. with the gall of a Pablo Escobar. Come on, man. Don't ruin my flow. I'm trying to paint a picture here.
Wearing an all-white suit.
Wearing an all-white suit with one of them banana hats. Singing, Deo. Deo. This cocksucker... ignores the stop sign by blatantly rolling through it at 2 or 3 miles an hour.
No blinker.
That makes a left turn without a signal.
Unbelievable.
I know what you're thinking, Judo Larry.
Straight to the electric chair.
That's right. Lock him up, throw away the key, fry his balls, and serve him up for dinner, ladies and gentlemen.
No court, no jury, no stay of execution.
Thank God. That's all I could say.
For the law enforcement in this nation.
For the law enforcement of New Mexico.
Because Chavez and Orozco were on the job.
Yes, police officers Orozco and...
Chavez.
As in, were on the job. They spotted this malcontent, this threat to American life and dignity.
This hooligan. This cartel wannabe.
They stopped him after his blatant running through a stop sign.
Yes.
Asked him to leave his vehicle with the arrogance of a drug lord.
Yes.
He comes out of his vehicle and clinched his butt cheeks at the officers. Do you understand the severity of what I'm saying?
Oh, absolutely.
The man tensed up his butt cheeks.
And the moment you do that...
And by the way, I'm not making this up. This was in the official police report. The policeman... being fair-minded and in the pursuit of justice.
Yes.
Immediately ran to the courthouse and asked the judge to issue a search warrant. A search warrant for the probable cause of butt clinching.
But you've skipped one thing.
What's that, sir?
First, the lead officer, Leo.
Yes.
The lead drug officer? Sniffing dog said that he had drugs on his seat.
Even more proof.
An unlicensed dog named Leo. The
Now, I saw Leo's graduation certificate. We're not talking about an uneducated dog here. I saw the certificate.
He's probably smarter than Orozco and Chavez.
I saw the certificate that said Leo graduated with honors from dog school.
Comalpo? This is so fucked up. So they get a search warrant.
Now you may say, where was the search warrant to be executed, Judah Lariam?
Something which I'm very familiar with. Your ass.
His asshole. No, ladies and gentlemen, we're not making this up.
We're not making this up.
This one of, apparently the FBI's 10 most wanted, had his asshole violated by the police. So they took him from his car. They took him to a local hospital. They took an x-ray because of the search warrant. Now, the guy refused. He said, I do not consent to any of this.
Yeah.
You know, please let me go, charge me, whatever. On Leo, the dog's indication, they said the dog smelled drugs in the car. The car was searched. No drugs. They decided they needed to search this man's asshole. They took him to the hospital. They performed an x-ray. The x-ray showed nothing being hidden inside the man. Not enough for the cops. They asked the doctors to do a digital exam, meaning shove the old fingaroos up the asshole. The first doctor at the hospital, to his credit, refused. He said, I think that's not ethical. I'm not doing it. The cops merely took him to the next hospital where they found a doctor more willing, quote unquote, to play ball. So not only did they take another x-ray, these doctors start excavating in the man's asshole with their fingers.
Nice.
They didn't find anything.
Naturally.
So, did it stop there, Judah Lariam?
No.
No. The next step they did is they force-fed him this drink to make him shit his brains out, basically an enema. And what's worse is he had to take a shit in front of the cops. So that way they could search through his shit as it came tumbling out of his recently violated asshole.
This is so fucked up.
So the guy shit his pants.
Yeah.
They checked it. They found nothing. Surely at this point, they had to stop, right?
No.
At that point, again with the guy refusing, they anesthetized him and performed a colonoscopy where I think they put that metal rod so far up his ass it came out his nose.
Probably.
That showed nothing. Then they wanted to cut him open. So, and at that point, the doctors drew a line in the sand, and they said, no. This poor bastard, for running a stop sign. Running a stop sign. No, by the way, by running.
Turned without turning to put his blinker on.
Yeah.
What the story
and
said.
By running a stop sign, we don't mean he blazed through it at 60 miles an hour. They literally said it was a rolling stop, you know, like most of us would do at a stop sign. This guy spent 14 hours having his asshole violated more than at a Chelsea nightclub.
Yeah, it's amazing.
And to top it all off, he got a bill from the hospital for a couple of $1,000 that he has to pay for all the work they did on his asshole.
Could you imagine you pull up to a stoplight and you're turning like slower than slow with molasses in the wintertime and you get pulled over by these two knuckleheads.
And they want to look up your asshole.
Who are convinced that you're hiding drugs up your ass.
Now, what's worse about that is this poor bastard, Mr. Young, the second time this week this has happened. And guess what the common thread is, Judah Lariam?
Oh, do tell.
Leo the Wonder Dog was the arresting canine in both cases.
This is the one with the certificate that you saw online.
So now, this dog has falsely implicated at least two men who, as a result of this fucking dog barking, and nobody's
Timothy Young.
And this other guy, I forget his name.
Michael Vick.
Oh, okay. This fucking dog, who no one is questioning whether the dog's lost his mind, it's just trying to get himself
don't
high
you
on
realize,
crack.
But don't you realize, the guy, it said he had drugs on the driver's seat.
Right.
Which is why they focused on his ass.
Right.
But you realize, like, the guy could have farted in there or something, and the dog smelled it. Like, you don't know what the dog's doing.
Or the dog's losing his mind. Do you know what I mean? Like,
the dogs lose their mind?
Yeah, meaning, have they tested him to see if he could still sniff out drugs? Like, put drugs in three boxes and have the dog figure it out? Anyway, my point is, you would think, listen, fair enough. You want to check? Fine. You would think that after the x-rays showed nothing, why not stop there?
Right.
Do you understand what I'm saying? Why wouldn't they just tell them? Like, and how much can he have shoved up his ass that wouldn't be detectable? Do you know what I mean?
I know, but when you keep finding nothing and they keep violating this man, I mean, this is nasty because it really is a terrible rights violation.
Oh, if this guy,
I mean, look, if he was really some douchebag that, you know, maybe he's a drug mule or something, maybe I could stretch it to say
even then
this is just
it,
but. No, but I mean, this is just some guy just turning and. And this is the second time that this has happened now. So
this guy, if he gets anything less than $100 million, I'd be shocked. You know he's suing the city, the state, everything.
Okay, let me tell you something. For $100 million, I'd do this for 14 hours.
What are you talking for $100 million? You'd do it for a drink and a handshake. What are you kidding me?
I made $100 million less.
All right. So yes, so even though we had a good time laughing at this poor man's misfortune, it is horrible.
No,
and typically, New Mexico is thought of as pretty much a libertarian type of state.
Yeah, my buddy Gary Johnson
used to be the governor. Yeah, like New Hampshire. They have a reputation for being libertarian, and yet their police force is acting like the fucking Gestapo down there.
Yeah.
Honestly, like, I mean, here in New York, we had a case where a couple of maniac cops shoved a broomstick up a suspect's ass once in holding. Amadou Diallo, I think.
That was slightly different, though.
No, it wasn't the
because
same situation.
When they arrested him, I mean, he threw some punches at them, and he was being a bit of a jerk.
Still, no excuse to shove a
at all. But this—that's not the same. This guy didn't do anything,
right?
I mean, he's literally just making a turn in a car, and even the thing with Diallo, which was horrible, that didn't go on for 14 hours.
Yeah.
This thing with this Timothy Young went on for 14 hours,
and then they charged him. They expect them to pay those bills. Even after all this negative press, they still expect them to pay for the hospital bills. Like, you would think they would just say, listen, why don't we just make this a little bit easier on ourselves?
Yeah.
And not give this guy more ammunition to sue us with.
Right.
Maybe we eat the $5,000 or $7,000 bill. You know what I mean?
Or do him a favor and eat out his ass.
At least, like, give him a kiss before you fuck him again.
No,
something.
Give him a blumpkin.
Jesus Christ. I can't believe that.
Some action. Jesus. This is terrible. And the fact that it has happened twice with Leo, the Wonder Dog. Is
unbelievable. Yeah. So, listen, if you're going through New Mexico, I recommend you don't.
Stay away from Leo.
Stay away from fucking New Mexico. And if you do, put a cork up your ass or something. And if you see these fucking illegal alien police officers, Orozco and Chavez, just fucking keep driving. I figure the penalty for speeding away from the cops has got to be less than running a stop sign and having your asshole violated for the next 14 hours.
Plus, if you take off, you might escape.
Yeah. Unless, of course, you're a gay guy, in which case, plan your vacation around New Mexico. Can you imagine, like, a couple of gay guys, like, we don't even have to go looking. All we have to do is run through a stop sign in New Mexico. Well, and it's fun times for the next 14 hours.
All I have to do is stick a joint in my ass. And that dog, Leo, will come.
Yes, here, Leo. Can you imagine some gay guy just backing his ass up to Leo? Like, here you go, Leo. Sniff, sniff. Sniff, sniff, sniff. And that's the one time the dog doesn't, like, point at his ass.
You're a man of many voices, I know. Before you were doing a woman. Now you're doing a gay guy.
Just, woof.
That's my dog. Woof,
woof, woof. All right, Judah Larium, that was worth both a laugh and a horror, or rolled up into one.
It's but probably now, a story that most people haven't heard about.
Yes, yes, yes.
I mean, that's fucked up, though.
Yeah. All right, so keep an eye out for New Mexico. All right, you're listening to The Riot right here on The Riotous Podcast. Listen, before we continue with our final segment of the show, I just want to remind everyone, check out The Riot during the week when we're not broadcasting. You can find us on facebook.com/thatriotshow. You can also go to thatriotshow.com, go to Stitcher, go to iTunes, go to Player FM, anywhere fine podcasts can be found. Just search for That Riot Show and you'll find all of our current and past episodes. But most of all, if you really want to keep up with The Riot and you really want to hear us with our snarkiness and our on-the-fly commentary, go to Twitter. That's probably your best bet. Twitter.com/thatriotshow.
Are you all right over there?
Yeah, I'm just, I got something like an allergy, a rash or something. I'm all itchy.
Right. It's amazing that you talk about men's asses all night.
And then I'm scratching myself.
You're scratching yourself.
That's because I secretly want one, probably.
I think so.
Oh.
Might be latently gay.
Oh.
Let me ask you, John, have you ever been to Canada?
No, I haven't. Why? What's going on up there?
You've never been to Canada. Not once in your life. You lie.
For purposes of this bit, I have never been to Canada.
Okay. For purposes of this bit, I don't know where it is.
So, all right. So what do we got going from our neighbors to the north?
Well, you heard the story about the mayor of San Diego, right? That he was...
Yes.
And he refused to leave office after the groping.
Why should he? All he did was compliment a few women on their appearance.
Okay. Well, before you break into his impersonation, I'm just setting this up, Mr. Timing and Pacing. Okay. So
go ahead, brother.
You've heard about the guy from San Diego.
Of course.
Okay. So not to be undone, we have now from our great neighbors to the north. We have the mayor of Toronto, Rob Young, is it? Do you know? Is it?
Not that I've ever been to Canada, as I earlier stated, but yes. I believe the mayor of Toronto is Rob Ford.
Oh, Rob Ford. That's right. I'm sorry. I got Young from the previous story. That's what happens when you scribble notes here, people. So Rob Ford is the very fat and ridiculous mayor of Toronto.
Allegedly ridiculous.
Allegedly ridiculous. And now he has become fodder for late night entertainment.
No. He's become a fodder. And let me please be clear about this.
Not fatter, fodder.
Oh, I apologize. Okay. He's become a fodder for these really out of line, right wing, ultra conservatives who don't know how to have fun in life.
That's right, like you. You're one of those far right wing douches. But
so what did Mayor Ford do?
Well, that's the question.
Yes. What did he do?
First, he was accused. They said, is there video footage of you smoking crack?
Allegedly.
And he said no.
Allegedly.
And he said that this is a big joke and it never happened.
Allegedly.
Okay. So now he's breaking out. He's just decided to give it up.
Allegedly.
Okay. And he's the mayor of Toronto.
Allegedly.
So in the interview footage, it shows him and he goes, they said, have you ever smoked crack? He went, yeah, I've smoked crack. And they asked him, he goes, am I an addict? No, but I have smoked crack. And they asked him when he smoked crack. He goes, oh, during one of my drunken stupors.
So I'm not a crackhead. But I am a fucking drunk.
Yeah, I'm not a crackhead, but I stayed at Holiday Inn Express last night.
Yeah.
I mean, this is the stupidest thing I've ever. Now, everybody's already picked up on this. The first thing that I thought of is, do you really think that helps? Like, is that an intelligent argument? Like,
yes, it is.
Really? Well, that's because of some of the things you and I have done drunk.
Listen, remember when I said Rich Incognito's my hero?
Yes.
Let me take that back. Rich Incognito's no longer my hero. Mayor Robert Ford is now my hero.
Is Mayor Robert Ford now in the Rioters Hall of Fame?
Yes, absolutely.
All right, we'll vote him in.
He'll be the first foreigner in the Rioters Hall of Fame.
Oh, that's a very good point. Yeah. Even though he's incredibly white.
How can you fucking hate on this guy? First of all, see, and this is what I said. I pretended like I didn't know anything about it for the bit.
Allegedly.
First of all, you have to understand the beauty of the scumbaggery of this guy, of the douchebaggery of Mayor Robert Ford.
I don't agree.
The first part of this wasn't that he admitted to smoking crack. They asked him, do you smoke crack? And he said, no, I do not.
No, I said that. He denied it.
He said, no, I do not. This was in April. Yeah. He pulled the Clinton. Yeah. Now when they caught him on film, by the way, he first started saying, he goes, listen, I never said there was no video of me smoking crack. I just said, I couldn't tell you where the video of me smoking crack is. You know? Then they said, well, okay, forget that. He goes, but you said you don't smoke crack. He goes, listen, when you ask me if I smoke crack, I wasn't. You didn't ask the right question, A. The right question would have been, have you ever smoked crack? And if you ask me that question, then I would give you the right answer. So somebody in the audience goes, have you ever smoked crack? Yes, I have.
Yes, I have.
But it was only because I was drunk.
It was only because I was drunk and stupid.
This guy is my new hero.
Well, then you should move to Canada, John, because you know why?
Why?
Now his approval rating has gone up in Toronto.
I told you.
Not
there
down.
You go.
It's gone up.
It's awesome. Listen, not only is this guy lying, cheating, he's on a Clintonian scale like that. The best part is that I heard this clip of a talk show on the radio in Toronto, where these two hosts were saying, okay, anybody have an opinion A of Mayor Rob Ford in his crack smoking? Please call in. So they get this call from some guy named like Ian or something, and they go, Ian, you're on the air. And you just hear this. The mayor's a good man, hey? Why don't you get off his case? He said he never smoked crack and he's not a crackhead and he doesn't have a problem. And you couldn't fire him anyway because he has a problem and you can't fire the handicapped in Canada. And then the host just goes, Mayor Ford, is that you? No, this is Ian. I've talked to you in person, sir, and you sound a lot like the mayor. Click. This asshole called up radio talk shows.
Is that definite,
as,
though?
Yes, as someone else to defend his own crack habit. Isn't this guy the best?
That's actually terrific. I didn't know that. That's actually fantastic.
Compare him to some. See, he is such an unrepentant asshole that he makes regular assholes like Senator Reed here in the U.S. look mundane by contrast. I love this guy. Who would you rather have? A crackhead like him or a communist like Bill de Blasio that just got elected in New York?
I was just about to say, I'd rather have that guy than de Blasio.
You know where this guy's coming from.
And I know where he's been. I know what he's been smoking. I know what he's been drinking.
So Mayor Rob Ford...
Party on, dude.
Yeah. All I can say is, like, vive la Toronto.
Yeah.
Do they speak French up there?
No.
Okay, fuck that. Welcome to Toronto. Congratulations.
It's Ontario.
You are now the second official yet first foreign-born member of the Riotous Hall of Fame. Congratulations. When's the party, dude?
That's it. Drop the puck, douche.
Judo Larry M., I hear you've got a little something for us to commemorate the entry into the Hall of Fame of Mayor Ford. What do you have there?
I have a haiku that you might enjoy, John. I know that you're a fan of my occasional haikus.
Yes. You know, I have to say I am glad you went back to the haikus. We're going old school.
We're going this super old school.
This is Sirius XM Fantasy Sports Show old school. The haikus of Judo Larry M. Now, Judo Larry M., I know it's been a couple of years since you last did these.
Right.
So, but I want to tell the people out there, they're in for a treat. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, the haiku mastery of Judo Larry M. And Judo Larry M., just to make you feel at home, let me do this for you.
The mayor smokes crack.
Yes.
In a drunken stupor. Re-elect this man, eh?
Oh, that's...
You gotta love a good haiku.
They are so soothing. I forgot how relaxing your haikus can be. Thank
you. Did you enjoy that?
With the music in the background, and I like the way you do it in the authentic Bugs Bunny-ish Japanese accent. Do you have another one? I could use the relaxation.
It's actually the guy from Kung Fu.
Oh, okay. Keith Carradine?
No, the guy he used to walk with.
Oh, okay.
He used to instruct him, was blind. But
so, do you have another one, pray tell?
Yes, I do.
Okay, yes. Okay, the music's still going on. Let's.
This mayor is a hosa.
Uh-huh.
Drinking and crack. Drop the puck.
Ah, very wise. I like it. Mayor Ford, not only inducted into the Riotous Hall of Fame, very privileged indeed, if I were him, to have Judo Larry M. dedicate some haikus. Do you have any more?
I have one more, if you would like.
I always do.
The music's going. You say it soothes
yes,
you.
Yes. Hit me.
Elected to run city. A man in his crack.
Yes.
Why so fat, eh?
Yes. Why so fat, eh?
Hey.
See, isn't that proof that he's not on crack? Nobody on crack can be that fat, can they?
You know what the funny thing is? When I looked at this guy, I was looking at him. The drunken part I can see.
Yes.
I just don't see the... I actually believe that he only smoked it like once or twice. I don't think he's doing it like constantly.
Seriously, who smokes crack just once or twice?
Rob Ford. Maybe.
Well, Judo Larry, I have to say,
no, thank you.
I like the reappearance of the haikus. Hopefully, they'll be part of the ongoing show now. I hope it kind of stirs you up a little bit.
Sure, why not?
Three haikus, awesome.
That's the hat
trick. Just awesome. I like it.
It's the hat trick.
It's fantastic. Do you have anything else for us?
Well, I was playing around with a song from the 50s
the other day.
My Boyfriend's Back.
Yeah, yeah. So hold on a second. Let me set this up. Hold on. There you go. What do you think of that?
John, that's the same music as before.
Oh, yeah, but we don't have the rights to the music you want. So you'll have to use this.
Okay. We'll just have to wing it with the, my boyfriend's back now, and he's on crack now. Hey, la, hey, la, the mayor's on crack.
Hey.
He's been smoking crack in a drunken stupor. Hey, la, hey, la, the mayor's on crack.
Crack.
His approval ratings went up now. Hey, la, hey, la, the mayor's on crack. Crack. He's really fat now, and he looks like Porky Pig.
Hey, la, hey, la, the mayor's on crack.
I think it sounds better with the 50s song.
No, I kind of like it with the Japanese music in the background. Well, that was incredibly racist, yet entertaining.
Yes, yet entertaining. In fact, this entire show has been racist. And
we don't make enough of your half-Japanese background and your training in the martial arts of the Far East. After all, you are Judo Larry M., not like...
Big Fat John.
Not Big Fat John or Street Cleaning or Colonoscopy M. or... Ass loving M.
Actually, I wouldn't mind being Taint M.
Intrusion M.
Dirt Road M.
Hershey M. Can't stop shitting M.
Poop Judo Boy.
Can you imagine we're like referring to all these derogatory things about your ass, and somewhere there's some gay gentleman going,
I want to meet Judo Larry M.
He sounds like the type of guy who would be perfect for me.
Are you sure you're not gay? That's some.
What if I was? What's wrong with that?
Nothing. You could go to New Mexico, get ass raped for 14 hours, smoke crack in Toronto, and make racist remarks to a football player. It doesn't matter to me.
Can you imagine now New Mexico just becomes like a tourist attraction for gay guys all over the country? You just see a parade of pink Cadillacs.
And straight guys like you who want to get raped. Perfectly.
Guys running stop signs and immediately jumping out of their cars in the assumed position with their ass out.
You know what annoys the shit out of me?
What's that?
Back when Obama first got elected, that stupid professor friend of his got arrested by the cops.
Right.
And it was totally stupid. He was entering his house from the back, and somebody thought he was like a criminal breaking house.
Right.
And he made a big deal about it.
Yeah, yeah.
And he had to speak out on it. The cops and the cop and the professor had to stop by for a beer and hang out. Meanwhile, he's not talking about this at all.
No.
This guy who got raped for 14 hours, all that stuff, he needs Obamacare.
Of course. Yes. But that's because this all fits into Obama's grand vision of a nation of lemmings who are more worried about bullying 350-pound linemen than they are about a guy in the middle of nowhere getting ass-raped by the police for no reason.
Yeah, this
no fucking reason at all. All joking aside, this is such a violation of our civil rights. And for the president, if he's going to speak up about some fucking professor who got mistook for a cat burglar because he was breaking into his own house.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, instead of that asshole saying thank you to his neighbors for keeping an eye out on his house, like that became like a national incident. This, two guys get anally raped by the cops for no reason because some fucking senile drug sniffing dog thinks he smells crack.
I won't sit here while you talk about Leo. He has a certification of sniffing asses.
I apologize to Leo.
I know that what happened to these guys is terrible.
Yeah,
but it's really cool.
It's funny. Actually, we put Rich Incognito in the Hall of Fame.
We put the Toronto mayor.
Toronto Mayor Rob Ford in the Hall of Fame. The third person to enter the Rioters Hall of Fame tonight, Judo Larry M.,
is
Leo the Wonder Dog.
Leo the Wonder Dog. So now we have an American, we have a Canadian, and a canine.
Canine American.
And they're man's best friend. Especially when he's sniffing your ass and accusing you of having drugs up there.
Can you imagine he's like a pointer dog, so he sniffs your ass, thinks there's drugs, and then he just points with his nose like rigid, like in the cartoons, like boing.
That would be great if you went there and like you pulled your pants down.
Yeah.
The guy's like, and the dog's pointing at your ass like, you got drugs. And the guy goes, our dog says you have drugs. Like, no, I don't. And like,
shit on his nose.
Marijuana comes out. Shit some pills out. Shit out some heroin.
Oh, heroin. Halifax.
Halifax.
The shaka. Anyway, all right, ladies and gentlemen, things are getting away from us. We've given you enough entertainment, goddammit, for tonight.
Goddammit. Allegedly.
Yes, it's alleged entertainment.
A big shout out to the mayor of Toronto.
Hey, bet.
Stay strong, bro.
Yep, yep. All right, ladies and gentlemen, because it's getting a little wacky in the Riotous Studios, let's wrap this up. This has been Big Fat John.
And Judah Larium.
Join us again next week for The Riot. Until then, peace.
Join us every week at theriotshow.com to follow the latest exploits of Big Fat John and Judah Larium. This is Mark, the man with a golden voice, and my testicles are killing me.